Amen. I still feel we should pray some more, so I'm not going to preach for too long so that we can have some time to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when things happen in the midst, especially in this church, I can't say about other churches, but you know, when things happen here, you need to pay attention. Sorry, Ramon, the light of your camera, your phone is on. And many times, I feel that sometimes we take those times with levity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, despise not prophesying. And I think that by now we should know that when God is moving in our midst, you should just sit up and pray. My wife was telling me when we got home last week, it was sometime during the week. You know, last week there was a word that we should pray for all the women in the church. And while she was being prayed for, the person that was ministering to her said some things to her. And I'm not saying it took a month. I'm not saying it took a year. Within 2 or 3 days, she began to see the exact manifestation of the things that she was spoken about. I'm not sure whether you're in that category. Where things are said to you and you don't wonder, okay, how shall these things be? Or is it really true? You need to pay attention. Hallelujah. Amen. Please open your Bible to me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Let me see whether I can preach for 30 minutes. It's already 11 o'clock. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll read from verses 1 to 13. I read from the NIV version. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that he is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, but it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm continuing in study on Ephesians. And today I'm titling this message, The Mystery Revealed. Hallelujah. The Mystery Revealed. For the sake of time, I'm not going to recap on the last sermon. You can check your bulletin last week. Okay. But what you notice is that Paul starts to say a prayer, actually. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he starts saying something else. The continuation of what Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1 is in verse 14, which we've not even read, where he goes on to say, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. He was about to pray. He was about to say a prayer for the Ephesians. And then all of a sudden, he just goes and starts talking about something else. And he talks about what I'm titling today, The Mystery Revealed, but essentially speaking about the mystery of Christ Jesus. Generally, we like secrets. And we like mysteries, don't we? We do. As human beings, we do. You know, it's usually cool when someone says, I want to tell you something. Don't tell anybody. You feel cool. You say, I know something. I checked online and I found out that there are so many websites that have been dedicated to some mystery or the other. World's Modern Mysteries, 10 Unsolvable Mysteries, and all sorts of things and all sorts of things. Speaking about things, events, occurrences that people can't explain, that people can't understand, strange occurrences, disappearances, all sorts of things. Let me tell you a story. You know, I always tell you a story every Sunday. Let me tell you a quick one. Well, in secondary school, one of the things we liked doing was just engaging in some intellectual exercise for no reason at all. Just for the sake of, just for fun. You know, for a long time in secondary school, I didn't know there was a syllabus. I didn't know that there was a syllabus for SSC or for JAMB until like maybe 2 weeks. No, it must have been like maybe a month to JAMB. And then someone brought syllabus. I said, ah, so there is syllabus. Because then I thought, you just read for the sake of reading. You just know things for the sake of knowing. And one of such things that I spent my time thinking about was what was called the Bermuda Triangle Mystery. How many of you have heard of the Bermuda Triangle? Okay, all right, at least. The Bermuda Triangle is also called the Devil's Triangle. Let me educate you a little. It's located somewhere in the North Atlantic Ocean, somewhere on the west side. And it was claimed that there were so many strange occurrences that happened within that triangle. Any ship will get there and will just disappear. One plane will be flying over, will just disappear. You won't even find it. And I remember then they said that the lost city of Atlantis was buried under the Bermuda Triangle. And that there was something there that was sucking in every ship and every plane and stuff like that. Some people say it wasn't the lost city of Atlantis. Some people say it was a UFO that was buried there. Some people said that was the gateway to Mars. And you could just contact aliens by entering the Bermuda Triangle. Some other people said, no, it's not any of that. It's just because the current there is different. The climate is a little different and tricky. People get confused and so they enter the sea and then the current sweeps them away, crashes them on some rocks. But a mystery all the same. Now, several mysteries. People want to, for example, join some cult and they say you have to go through some rituals, some mysteries. When you hear that term mystery, what does it mean to you? Something mysterious. What is mysterious? Mystery. What is mystery? Mysterious. You can't even say it. It's too just. We like it. But that's not the kind of mystery I'm talking about this morning. I'm speaking of a different kind. What is called the mystery of Christ Jesus. I looked in scripture and I found out that I can speak about four different categories of things, occurrences, issues, or bodies of knowledge that we find in scripture. The first one is what we can't even know. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, it says the secret things belong to God and the things that are revealed are for us and our children. There are some things that man will never ever know. There are some things that man will never ever know. Talk to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. There are some things you will never ever know. You know, I was at my cousin's place yesterday. We lost one of my cousins last week. During the week. And so we went to see his elder brother. His mom was around. Then one of the brothers also was around. And while we were there, one of the things I said to them was, how to do with this? You know, sometimes things happen and you start wondering to God, why? Why did this happen? Especially when bad things happen to good people. You wonder why? Why? And you say to God, why? And some people will say, see, when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask God many questions. I'm going to ask him, why did he take my wife? I'm going to ask him, why did he take my child? I'm going to ask him, why did this happen? You'll be shocked. You may not have an answer. You may not necessarily have an answer. Why? Because there are some things that God just chooses not to tell man. And perhaps many of the answers to our why questions fall into that category. Things we will just never ever know. One category. Second category. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, the Lord will not perform a thing until he reveals his counsel to his prophets.
So there's a second category of things that God would reveal to his prophets.
Mr. Akunle, you had several revelations. That falls into that category. Who else has had several revelations? Your prophet in the house. You've seen several. Where's Emeka? My wife, prophetess. Mrs. Owanze.
That's another category where God reveals something to you. Otherwise unknown to other people. But because God chooses to reveal, he just reveals it to you. That's there. There's a third category of things that ideally we should know, but perhaps because of the level of our maturity, we are unable to understand them.
Jesus said to his disciples, John chapter 16 and verse 12, he says, I have many things to tell you, but you are unable to bear them.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he said, I couldn't speak to you as men. I spoke to you as babes. I fed you with milk and not with solid food.
Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 12, 13, 14, the writer of Hebrews said, see, there are many things I could tell you about Melchizedek, but I can't tell you now. And many times in our lives, we also fall into that category.
Things we should ideally know. But because of the level of our maturity and our ability to, you know, to grasp that truth, we just don't know it.
And then there is this category that Ephesians 3 talks about as something that is already revealed.
God isn't keeping it. God isn't revealing it only to his prophets. God isn't saying, see, until you are mature before you know it. God is saying, see, this mystery, I've revealed it.
Look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, Jesus, when he was teaching in parables, said, the mystery of the kingdom is revealed unto you, speaking to his disciples. In the same book of Romans, chapter 11, about verse 25, Paul wrote and said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, great is the mystery of God. Romans 16 and verse 25.
It says, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him.
Let's go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3.
I must quickly make a distinction and explain one major difference between mysteries as we know them that exist in the world and the mystery of Christ Jesus. Mysteries as we know them in the world would mean something that is difficult to understand, incomprehensible, something you can't explain, has no explanation or no logical explanation or no satisfactory explanation, and so we are still left wondering what it's about. And there are several of them.
I gave you the example of the Bermuda Triangle.
You know, there are some conspiracy theorists always talk about a mystery, some mystery.
Was it really? Did Hitler really die?
How did Hitler really die? Or they'll come and say, how was John F. Kennedy killed? Was he really the guy that killed him that was arrested? Or what really happened about 9/11? Is it true? What about Iraq? The war in Iraq, was it really about terrorism? Was it about oil? and several things that, you know, people talk about. Now, mystery in the world may mean something that is incomprehensible, things that people can't understand, things that are illogical, things that you can't find a satisfactory explanation for. But the mystery that we find in Scripture speaks of something that had previously been hidden, but has now been revealed. Meaning, it's no longer mysterious. It's no longer that you are trying to uncover it. It's just the fact that people before never knew it. It was something that was hidden, but has now been uncovered. That word mystery, I'll never forget it. I learned it in university. It's the word mysterion in the Greek. And that's a word that means knowledge that is made available only to those who are initiated. And the first time I heard it, I said, initiation? This is a cult or something. Tell your neighbor you are initiated. But really, you are. You are initiated. Hallelujah. It's a good place to be initiated. Ephesians 3, from verse 2, it says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." Let me stop. He's talking about a mystery. And yet, he simply says, see, when you read this, you will understand my insight into that mystery. Meaning, it's probably not so mysterious after all. If by simply going over the communication, you will understand the knowledge or his insight into the mystery, then it's perhaps not the mystery that we know in the world. You understand that? If I can tell you, Shola, there's something mysterious. But when you read this note, I'm sending you a letter. When you read this letter, you understand my knowledge of that mystery. It means, even if it's a mystery to others, then to you, once you read it, it will no longer be mysterious to you. You understand that? Very simple. By reading, you would understand his insights into the mystery. And then he goes ahead and actually explains what the mystery is. Verse 5 says, "Which was not made known to men in other generations." Which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This actually was what made it a mystery. The fact that in previous generations, it had not been known. It was hidden from them. It was something they didn't even have an idea of. It was something they didn't have an inkling of. And yet, here was God suddenly revealing that knowledge. And so, he made it, so to speak, a mystery. But now, for us, it's not something we don't understand. Actually, it's a mystery that's been opened and revealed for all of us to understand. Verse 6, it says, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." Very simple, isn't it? That means all that we've been talking about from Ephesians chapter 1, that actually is the mystery. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. For verse 24, it says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become his servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Look at it again, verse 26. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was something that before now, or before the time that the apostles were beginning to write these letters and write these epistles, was something that was completely unknown. Yes, in the Old Testament, there were figures of speech and prophecies that seemed to indicate that somehow the Gentiles were going to be partakers of the salvation in some way, but there was no full understanding of the fact that you and I, Gentiles born in the flesh, would have full responsibility, full privileges, and equal access to God as Jews. They still thought that somehow, God will do it, but somehow, we the Jews will be on our own, and those guys will be on their own. And yet, here was the revelation that there was only going to be one body, and there was only going to be one man, and that both Jew and Gentile, all men on earth, would have free and equal access to God. That was a mystery that they had not understood before. Look at the book of 2 Peter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's read 1 Peter, sorry. 1 Peter, chapter 1. From verse 10, it says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. I'm saying even the angels did not understand, did not comprehend the kind of thing that God was about to do. The new thing that God was about to do on earth, the new thing that God was about to accomplish, God's new plan was something that even the angels did not understand. Let's go back to Ephesians. Remember Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26, 27 talks about the mystery and says that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Talk to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is a knowledge that had not been ever thought about. The fact that not only was Christ going to come and die, but that the fact that he was going to take residence in the heart of the believer. But something you and I now know freely. It's no longer mysterious to us, but that is the mystery of Christ Jesus. A wonderful thing to know. Ephesians 3. From verse 7, it says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, God's plan at that point was kept hidden in God. And so that's why 1 Peter can say even the angels long to look into these things. Because it wasn't even revealed to them. Verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, I've said this before. I know I mentioned this. I can't remember when during the series. But I mentioned that, see, God's dealing with the church was so to speak to make us, was when I spoke on showpieces, was to make us the envy, so to speak, and put us out such that the whole world, the whole of creation, and even the angels can see us, see the believer, and say, God is great. You know, men say that when they see a beautiful woman, say, God. Like Adam was like, Anyway, we had only seen animal. He saw Eve and said, which translation is that one? Mine, right? Someone once said that jokingly, said, when Adam saw Eve, I think it was Tolu, he said, God, that is Olasekoni. Lataro. Now bringing monkey and baboon. Says, behold. But sometimes people see a car and they speak in tongues. They say, Sandra. I'm saying that the angels look at you and they start singing hallelujah. That is the mystery. The fact that we're going to be one body would be sharers of the promise and partakers in the promise of Christ Jesus. The mystery was the fact that we're going to be so, so rich. Filled with the riches of the goodness of God. Filled with the riches of the goodness of God's grace. Ephesians 3 and verse 9 talks about the unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. It's not just in Christ Jesus, it's for you. That is what the mystery is about. Not something mysterious anymore, but something now plainly revealed to us. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And for those who weren't around that Bible study, Pastor Ayo mentioned this in passing. So as he ended, how that though the fall brought about separation and expulsion from the garden and a break in relationship between man and God, Jesus came and he more than restored that relationship. He's given us freedom of access where we can freely, not just freely, but with confidence, approach God and relate with God. That is part of the mystery. That men and women who were born into such a lineage that would have condemned them to be strangers and foreigners, who would have condemned them to such a position where they would have never had any right to even beg to be slaves, where they would have had to go through so much only to become even proselytes, and they were not even, as at that time, given full rights of citizenship and being made part of the kingdom, where these people would just freely, by the work of Christ Jesus, will be brought into a new state, a new relationship with Christ that would give them so much freedom and access. So much will be done for them
That was the mystery. And this is something that you and I have right now. And this is something not only do we have, but simply when you read, you will understand. You won't need any special revelation. God is not hiding that from you. It's not one of those secret things. It's not one of the things that God will necessarily reveal to you specially. Remember in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, see, I know of a man who had an experience. I don't know whether I was in the body or was in the spirit, but he saw things that are unlawful for man to see. As I would say, don't you read many lists? But this is one of those things. So jury, ten unso, and you must understand that mystery. You must understand that truth. You must understand that reality and make it a part of your life. It's no longer a mystery hidden. It's one that is revealed. Can we stand to our feet as we pray this? Yes, a mystery hid for ages and for generations, but now has been made known, revealed plainly. And so to speak, you have no excuse. Because when you read, you understand. That mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That mystery, it's about the fact that you and I have been made partakers of the promises. We are heirs of Christ Jesus, sharers in the promise, members of the kingdom, united in one body. And we all now have access, full access, and freedom.